couple of guys.
Andy Randy.
Having discussion.
I be on it all night, man. I be on it all day. Straight up pimp. If you want me, you can find me in that.
What are you looking at me like that for?
What you talking about? We're supposed to make eye contact.
It's the Midday Show with
Andy Barker and my son, my baby boy, Randy McMichael.
When I crack open this mic.
That was the most media member thing that's ever been said.
Starring Randy Montez McMichael as Randy and my firstborn son, Andrew Stephen Bunker as Andy.
You can't say Randy without saying Andy. It's the Andy and Randy Midday Show.
Boring answer.
Just make sure you don't touch that dial, then we'll be cool. Touch it and use the fool.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Yeah. Good morning. Welcome in. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Midday Show with Andy and Randy with you here on a happy hour Friday.
Ooh, woo.
Thanks so much for being with us. It's a beautiful Friday morning as well, and the weekend right around the corner. We're looking forward to it. Good morning to you, Randy. How are you?
What's happening, man? Yes, dog. It is Friday. Happy Hour Friday here on the Midday Show. Like you said, we live for the weekend, and we got 3 hours till we get there. Obviously, it is a beautiful Friday, a good day drink. No, stop saying it. Every day is a good day for day drinking, but, I mean, this is especially a good day for getting your spirits on, as Sandy Stegi was talking about there out at the golf course. Like, I ride in the cart, drink the brew. I play, like, if we went out today, I would play all the odd holes.
Okay.
Yeah, I play all the odd holes with you, but I just sit in the cart, I look for the big girl, and I keep us lubed up.
Perfect.
All right, so, yeah. So that'd be my job.
You be the lube guy.
I'd be the lube guy. Next time we go golfing.
The odd number lube guy.
Yep. So next time we go golfing, that's what's going to happen. I'm gonna play the odd holes, and I'll let you do out there and everything.
I think Bo's got a round. We were supposed to cash in on this thing.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Like a year and a half ago.
Well, that expired at the end of 23.
Dang it.
Damn.
Sometimes if you call them and like, hey, like I didn't get a chance to come and I found this, maybe could I come out? Maybe sometimes they'll let you.
They might, because I did buy it at a charity event.
That's what you got to say.
That's what you got to say, dog.
Hey, bought this at a charity event.
Yes.
Didn't get a chance to make it by the end of 23. I know it's
That's your fault, man.
I know
it's almost.
Why'd you
say nothing? I know it's almost
halfway through 24. On like seven occasions.
No, you did.
No, when?
He did, yeah.
When?
Yeah,
it's like, hey, guys, we need to plan this outing. Hey, guys, we need to plan this outing.
Because remember, we're going to try to do it before Brian moved to Sacramento.
Oh, yeah.
Brian's already moved back from Sacramento, and we still haven't done it. So,
I will make that phone call and see if I can make that happen. But regardless, even if I can't, let's go get and play golf.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
let's go down the street somewhere.
Let's do it, man.
Yeah, man, I'm good.
And I played three times in the last week, so I don't know when.
You spoiled.
I don't know when my next green light is going to be for golf.
Have we found out the repercussions?
Not 100% yet, no.
Oh, okay.
No, but, like, there's been a lot of, like, oh, I stopped by Home Depot on the way home from work today.
Right.
I was like, well, what'd you get? Oh, yeah, some plants.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think, I might be building a greenhouse. Oh. I have no idea. Something.
You're going to go home in a lumber truck.
She did say, I want to expand the garden area.
Okay.
So, that could be there. That could mean anything.
It's repercussions for your boy this weekend, brother.
Yeah, no, you're right. I'm going to have to pay the piper on that one.
It's repercussions for me this weekend, because it is clean, spring cleaning, outside mulchy plant stuff weekend. So
take a Claritin.
Yeah, dog. Yeah, it's gonna be one of them weekends. But I'm up for it, Bunk. I am, dog. I live for outdoors. I live for cleaning
DIY Randy
and all those things, cleaning the grills and the hot tubs and getting the pool ready. I live for this stuff, Bunk.
Hell yeah.
I ain't scared of you, woman. Tell me what I'm going to do.
If you're planning on day drinking or night drinking and you have your drinks already, send us a picture of it at TBM929 on Twitter, at RandyMac81 on Twitter. We'll give you a shout-out. We'll get to what's trending coming up in 15 minutes. Rangers are in town for a three-game series to take on the Atlanta Braves.
Dude,
starting
I saw something, this funny thing on Twitter a couple days ago. They were having, like, all the MLB teams, they had their most famous fans.
Okay.
And the funny one for Atlanta, it was Elton John. And I was like, Elton John is a Braves fan?
Because he lives here, I think.
Oh, I didn't know.
He lives up in Buckhead.
Of all the 30 teams, that was the funniest one.
Said Elton John.
I was like, really?
Because I don't know that I've ever seen him, like, at a game.
Me either.
Or maybe he threw out a first pitch. Did he sing the national anthem at some point? I don't know.
I don't know, but that was the funniest thing I saw, man. But I was like,
who is the most famous Braves fan that comes to mind to you?
I don't know.
Because, like, everybody from here, you see him in a Braves hat and all that stuff. Like, everybody's a Braves fan.
But somebody that you wouldn't know is a Braves fan that is a Braves fan, I couldn't tell you.
Yeah.
I could not tell you. I mean, I'm sure Bo served somebody a drink down there.
Or maybe,
lots of people. Most of them you would probably assume are Braves fans. Am I assuming that if they come to a game, they're a fan?
Yeah. I mean,
it's too damn hot.
Doctor Strange came to a game.
It's too damn hot in Atlanta to be going to Braves game and not be no Braves fan. All right, it's too damn hot. It's too damn hot in Atlanta to come to a Braves game if you ain't a Braves fan.
Yes.
Yes.
After about Memorial Day.
Yeah, it's damn hot.
Like, you can still make it now. Like, you make it this weekend, and you're probably okay. But, yeah, like, if you – but the thing about Bo's section is, like, you can sit in the AC.
Yeah, that's where rich folks sit.
You make your – oh, you don't even have to – you can order your drink, and the waitress or waiter will bring you your drink, which is really nice.
But it's a big weekend.
I'd like to get back down there this summer, if possible.
I mean, just call me. You know me. You know I'm always ready. All right? You know, because it was so nice. But that means I got to stay the whole game, and I'm just not –
I'm doing my best to get Employee of the Month again.
What does
Employee of the Month mean?
That's when we went to the Braves game last year.
Right.
That's what it was for.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Because I was out of town.
You were out of town.
Yeah, I was out of town.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, it's a big weekend. I always got to remember the Texas Rangers are the defending World Series champion.
Yeah. My wife is a huge baseball fan, huge Braves fan, but a big baseball fan. And I said, hey, the defending World Series champs are in town this weekend to play the Braves.
Yeah.
Do you know who that is?
Uh-huh.
And she was like, I don't know. They just played the Astros. The Yankees?
Right.
Nope. not to throw her under the bus or anything like that, but yeah, no, it's, I don't know.
It's all good, man.
No one noticed.
And to all the Ranger fans.
Congratulations, Rangers. No one cares.
Yeah, to all the Ranger fans that are in town listening, welcome. And all those
not
different things.
Me.
And congratulations
you're not
and everything like
now,
that.
You're not
but yeah,
by
I mean,
me.
It's going to be a great series.
I hope Corey Seager strikes out every single time he's up this
starting
weekend.
Starting tonight, Chris Sale is on the mound. This game is going to be on Apple TV. So if you have Apple TV, that's where the game is going to be. Don't be going to Bally's. Don't be going to Peachtree. Don't be getting mad throwing remote controls.
Yeah.
Mike Bell. It's on Apple TV.
And I would just say, just because this always happens when the games are on Apple TV, I don't know how well the broadcasters are going to do tonight. I'm sure they're going to do their best. Mm-hmm. Hopefully they do a great job.
Right.
Just mute it. You know what I mean? Like, people.
Like, always. Like,
you
I don't
get like two innings in and people are like, who are these guys?
Do
they
you
suck.
Not, like, can
just
you,
mute it.
I'm asking you a question. Can you watch a sporting event on TV with no sound?
Man, I can, but I don't like it.
Oh, really?
Uh-uh.
I'd love to.
Unless
it's the main thing I'm watching.
Yeah.
But if it's on one the other.
I mean, I can't. You know, you like go to a sports bar and it's
if,
on.
If it's on the side TV at the house, I very rarely do I have the volume all the way up where.
But if it's
I can,
a game that I, if I'm watching it,
yeah,
you know what I mean, like I care about
right.
it and I'm watching it. I like to hear the broadcasters,
okay.
but also I'm a broadcaster nerd and I like to listen to these guys and critique them in my mind and all that kind of stuff. There's new music you could listen to while putting it on mute. Maybe you're a Swiftie.
Yeah.
Taylor Swift released some music.
Oh, she did?
Last night. Two albums last night.
She released two albums?
Yeah.
Like a double album or just two albums?
I think it's a double album.
Good for her, man.
She's out there working.
Good for her.
Pearl Jam released a new album.
They still making music?
They are. Brand new Pearl Jam dropped late last night. If you want to check that out, you put it on mute and listen to Eddie Vedder. I listened to the first four songs on the way in today.
Sounds like old Pearl Jam.
One of them was incredible.
Okay.
One of them's very, very good. The song Wreckage.
Uh-huh.
Very, very good. The other three sounded like... It's fine.
Okay.
You know what I mean? But whatever. I mean, it sounds like 50-year-old guys making rock music.
Okay.
Making new rock music.
Okay.
Or maybe
right.
they're even older than that.
Okay.
Yeah, or who knows? Maybe there's something else that drops this weekend that you can check out.
Who knows? I mean, there's always something as far as the music thing. But yeah, it should be a good... I'm interested to see how Chris Sale goes. And then tomorrow night... Come on, Charlie.
Mm-hmm.
Get your blank together, Charlie. And then, obviously, it's Sunday, Darius Vine. And that is going to be on Sunday Night Baseball. So, Darius Vine, national television.
He's built for the bright lights, is what I've always said about Darius Vines. The Hawks exit interviews going on today. Some quotes coming out from their practice facility as, unfortunately, their season comes to the earliest end that it's had since what? Like when they were tanking still. Yeah. Like this is the earliest they've been out of the playoffs. They didn't even make the playoffs really because the play-in is to get into the playoffs for the first time in a handful of years. And so they're reacting to the season. I saw some Jalen Johnson quotes about feeling good about coming back from his injury, which is nice. Obviously, I would assume he's a big part of the future of this team. Trey with some quotes being asked about, hey, man, do you want to be here? Which sucks, but that's kind of where we've gotten to based on the way the last couple of seasons have gone. And he said the same thing that he said every single time anyone's ever asked him that question, which is, yes, I want to be here. Yes, I want to win a championship here. I very much want to win. I don't care if I'm the best player on the team. If there's another guy who's better than me, that's awesome. I just want us to win, which is, check it. Go back on the record.
He said
what he says every single time he's asked about it. And he said it again today. I mean, obviously, he's got to be going into this offseason with a little bit more of a, I don't know, a little bit more of a question mark than he's ever had going into an offseason in his professional career.
Well, I think maybe to us, maybe.
Yeah, I do wonder. I do wonder for him, because it's so different for us.
Yes.
Because we spent the last 2 months talking about the DeJounte versus Trey and then the way it looked the other night. Like, it might be for them. They're like, yeah, we're just going to, I mean, we're all coming back.
Like, we don't know, because I'm obviously, when the season's over, and if you're the franchise player like he is, you've met with or talked to the owner of the team. So I'm sure if it's not today or whatever, he has met with Tony Ressler, the owner of the Hawks, and have had some kind of conversation. So that's always one of the things where, like, when you try to – when you talk about something that you might probably don't know, because he's probably already talked to him. There's no reason to go into this offseason, because pretty much I can kind of think what the conversation went like. Trey, we're going to do everything we can to make this team better, to make his job easier. Mm-hmm. That's what they probably told him.
I would think.
Yeah, I would think they would say that to him. Now, the thing with DeJounte, I don't know how that would go, but I think because they still view Trey as their franchise player, anything could change in a month. It can. Before, after the playoffs and all those different things, and then you can have a change of heart. But I'm pretty sure the first conversation they've had is that we're going to do everything we can to make this thing better, to make it better, to, you know, whatever, whatever.
What, when the season's over and somebody's crowned a champion and all that, we'll do some playoff preview, teams that are actually in the playoff preview coming up at 1:20 this afternoon, because both sides, East and West, have some really fun matchups in the first round. And we'll find out the final two teams that make it tonight, too, as the final two play-in games are. But when it's all said and done and free agency rolls around, it'll be post-draft, and it's right before the 4th of July, which is when free agency hits. What rumor do you think pops up first, that the Hawks are trying to move DeJounte or that the Hawks are trying to move Trey? Because the DeJounte stuff already happened. Like, yes. That happened at the trade deadline.
I think they will revisit that one.
You think so?
Yeah, I think they will revisit that one.
I'm interested.
Yeah. Now, as we said yesterday, as I was saying yesterday with the boys yesterday, I was like, I don't think they're going to move either one of them.
I don't either.
But if you're going to, like, say, Randy, make a decision, I would think they'll probably be looking at DeJounte.
I don't think they're going to move either one of them. I think they'll probably try to move Capella or DeAndre Hunter or something like that and run it back. I mean, that's what they've done.
Because that's what I'm saying. If you got, like,
I don't think that's a great plan, but I think that's what they'll do.
The issue we have is that it doesn't fit with them two. Not that DeJounte's a bad player or whatever.
They're both good players.
They're both good players. They just don't fit, and all those different things. That's why I keep saying, if you're going to bring somebody in, you got to bring somebody better than them. That's my only thing. And don't tell me draft pick, because NBA draft and these youngins coming in.
Maybe the Bucks will lose in the first round again and everything will crumble underneath them. Mm-hmm. And then Giannis is available.
I mean, they had him. They had a chance to get
him. They're almost going to get
him. They had a chance to get him.
There's got to be some sort of tie between Giannis and Atlanta, right?
Let's figure out. We have
there's a good Greek restaurant over there on Cheshire
Bridge.
There's
a nice Greek population here.
Really?
I don't know.
Yorgos! Yorgos Yakimakis.
Duh. I'm sure they boys.
They have to be.
I'm sure they homies.
Perfect.
There we go. Yorgos, get on your
side. By the way, he was at training yesterday.
Uh-oh.
Yorgos was at training yesterday.
Yeah, there you go.
He might be available tomorrow.
Get on it, Yorgos.
There we go. We figured it out. Alex Anthopoulos. That's a Greek-sounding name. Anthopoulos.
I'm going to go with the assumption that he's Greek.
Must be.
With Antetokounmpousis. No,
I don't know.
It don't matter.
Oh, damn it. We had it, and then we let it go. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Yeah, I mean, every year teams are different. I mean, obviously, I want to be here. I mean, I want to be here, but I want to win, too. So, I mean, obviously, I've said that since I've been here. Like, I want to be here. I want to win championships here and do that. But I want to win.
There you go. That's Trae Young from earlier today. Exit interviews as the season came to an end the other night. I pretty much love everything about that quote. It's also exactly what he's said every time he's been asked about it since he started getting asked about it a couple of years ago, about wanting to be here and all that kind of stuff. Now, but I also want to win part.
Right. People who read in the stuff will look at that part, that whole soliloquy,
You know who I hope reads into that?
Who?
The front office.
I'm sure they know.
I'm sure they do. Well, I don't know. Seems like they do, but you would assume, but I don't know. Like, yeah, but I also want to win. Guys, like, maybe do something to try to help that process. Like, one of the best players the franchise has ever had.
Yep.
Build the pieces around me correctly to try to help me.
But my thing
thrive.
Is, build, and we talked about this yesterday, because we were talking specifics about how to build a team around him. If he's going to be here, mm-hmm. but it's hard to build a team around him.
It is hard, definitely
hard.
You
know what I'm saying? So What about this team makes this organization, this front office, makes you think they're going to put the right guys around him?
Nothing.
Nothing at all.
Nothing.
That's what I'm saying. So is the butt part him saying, if y'all get this blank right, I don't want to play here no more?
It could be. I don't know that we're there yet.
Right.
But, I mean, that's where it gets. I mean, that's where it all ultimately goes. Either, you know, and it's all depending on the patience of the individual,
yes.
Right? Like, the example I always give, and I just think there's so many parallels between the types of players that they are, situations they find themselves in now, and all that kind of stuff, like, is Damian Lillard and Trey. Luckily for Portland, Damian Lillard was really patient and gave them a bunch of different tries to figure it out, and ultimately they never did. And then at the end of it, he was like, you know what? I don't want to be here anymore. I want to be in Miami. And they were like, to hell with that. We're sending you to Milwaukee.
Which you would ultimately think was a great thing.
You would think he would be like, oh, great. Yeah. They're actually better because they've got one of the best five players in the league.
He don't want
to
be there.
And then Dame proceeded to kind of pout all year and not have a very good season.
Yes.
So,
yes, I want to go to Miami.
Yeah, which is pretty weird.
Yes, I
and kind of flies in the face of all the stuff that I don't know, whatever. Maybe there's more to it than him just not wanting to be there. But he didn't have a particularly good season given what he's capable of. Now he's going to have an opportunity to carry the thing.
Yep.
Because Giannis isn't going to play.
Giannis is not playing.
At least game one, probably beyond that, but we'll see. I thought Giannis wasn't going to play in the playoffs 4 years ago
when
his knee bent 10 inches the wrong way, and then he came back for the finals. But all that to say, I don't know. I'm not going to read too much into that part. I just am going to say I agree with you. I want you to win too. And if that's the path they choose, the path of retooling it around Trey, which is the path they've chosen and have tried to do, they just have to get better pieces around him, which means specifically, instead of just saying arbitrarily get better pieces around him, guys that can defend the perimeter and guys that can shoot threes and a big that can legitimately protect the rim. That's what they need.
Okay.
They have horrible, horrible defensive pieces, and they need to have better ones.
Yeah.
Simple.
Maybe that's how long that's been the case.
At least 3 years.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like
maybe four.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I mean,
Clint Capella used to be a really good defensive center.
The age and injuries caught up with Clint. We know that. We understand that part right there. It is caught up with him. You got to have an upgrade there. My big thing is why Onyeka has not taken that mantle.
But you, I mean, 4 years in, you know why? Because he can't.
Okay. Well, then that's what I'm saying. So
at a certain point. Then
that's what I'm saying. We keep on talking about Clint. Go get a whole new room of bigs.
Yeah.
Go get a whole new room of bigs.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I like Onyeka. And the thing about it is you can find backup centers. I want him here to be the backup center. You can find a backup center.
Yeah. I mean, it sucks that you took him and not Tyrese Halliburton. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Could have had him.
How would that have looked? Him and Trey.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Because his ball dominant guard too.
Exactly.
Probably would look a lot like Trey
and
Johnson.
Exactly.
Unfortunately, it's not the right piece to have with Trey. So I guess I should stop bringing that up. But boy, is he good.
Yes,
he's
boy, a very
is
good
he
player.
Good player.
He's a very good player.
He's
a very good player.
Neither here nor there.
I kind of know why, because I was reading some quotes from Kyrie yesterday. Like, why is he on the Olympic team over Kyrie? But I understand why. It's not a basketball thing. It doesn't have as far as why Kyrie isn't on this damn team.
What, guys Jalen don't Brunson. Like him?
Who? Guys don't like who?
They don't like Kyrie?
Who don't like Kyrie?
I don't know. Why isn't he on the team?
I don't know. Why isn't he on?
I don't know. I thought you were saying.
No, what I'm saying is it just strictly basketball, or is it something other than basketball why Kyrie isn't on this team? Because I don't understand how he's on. I don't get it.
I don't either.
Because I can understand maybe why Drew's on, because he's a perimeter defender and all that. But you got plenty of scoring.
I know. That was the one for me not to be a hater.
Yeah.
I was like, really, Drew Holiday? Like, I know he was on the team 4 years ago and they won the gold, which is maybe another reason why he doesn't need to be on this team, but it's neither here nor there. Guys are getting 5 gold medals now.
Yeah,
I don't know. The roster's really weird.
It is weird.
It's the weirdest.
It's the weirdest.
Do we call it Dream Team still?
Hell no.
It's the weirdest Olympic roster that I can remember.
Yeah. But, they're going to have to go out there. They're going to have to be in. The season's on. I mean, there's a couple pending free agents that you can come in here and be the best player probably out there. Only person I can think of that's a pending free agent is Paul George. That's going to be a straight free agent.
And that would be that would be great.
Yeah, he's the only he's the only one I can think of right now.
And if they can pull that off, phenomenal.
Yeah.
And my apologies to the front office.
Yeah.
Because that would be getting exactly what you need, which is a better player than what you have at any position and a premier wing in the NBA now. injuries and blah, blah, blah. But whatever, like, that's a gamble that is worth taking if he's willing to come here.
Yeah.
But that's the other part of it.
Is he willing to
Everybody wants him to get into the luxury tax. Everybody wants him to spend money. On who? Who said no? Like, because that's the thing, is who are they going after that wants to come here?
I don't know.
Like, because it's not just as simple as pay him. He's got to say yes to.
Yeah, I mean,
free agents are allowed to go where they want.
Yeah, Siakam's a free agent.
Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't sign an extension with the Pacers.
No, he didn't.
Yep, so he'll be a pending free agent. I mean, there's certain dudes that are going to be pending free agency, but if one thing that I always talk about this, and this is the thing that, you know, as an owner of a basketball team, as Tony Ressler is, I'm not going to the luxury tax for this.
No.
I'm not going to the luxury tax for ancillary part. I'm not going to the luxury tax for Kevin Herter. Okay?
No.
And we're not contending with – no, that's fine. Be mad. But, yeah. I'm, you know what I'm saying? Like, can we know why they moved these certain people a few years ago because of the whole luxury tax type thing? Right. Okay. If it's my dime, damn right. Why am I going to go in the luxury tax for Kevin Herter?
To be a six seed.
To be a six seed.
Or a five or whatever. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Now,
yeah.
Somebody,
now I'm going to luxury tax for Paul George.
Hell yeah.
Well, I would.
Yeah, I would too.
I don't know. We'll see. That's the thing, is we don't really know whether or not he's willing to do it if the circumstance presents itself.
Right.
Because the circumstance presented itself to remain kind of solid, but obviously not championship level.
That team that went in when all those guys got extensions, they went to the conference finals. And say, for instance, they're all here today. Where would they be?
No, they're all old, man. A lot of them are kind of over the hill at this point.
I'm just talking about, say, like,
had they kept Kevin Herter
and Gallo. And,
well, Gallo can't move. Like John Collins.
John Collins and those guys, where would they be at? And just say you
They'd be a little better because those pieces fit together
better.
All right. Like, that's the thing. Is the thing about this team right now, and it's just really specifically the two guards that are both very good but can't be their best when on the court together, the pieces fit together better, right? Like, Trey had the ball a lot and was in the pick and roll with someone who could thrive like that, whether it was John Collins in the pick and roll where he was at his best, or Capella when he was still healthy and could do it. Like, those were good fits. You had Herter on the outside who could shoot and play a little bit of defense on the perimeter. Like, it wasn't the greatest team in the world, but the team fit together a hell of a lot better. Yeah. And that's what I'll give Travis Schlink credit for. Like, that's at least
the guy who's been around team building.
Well, but he built a team. Like, he took a team from a tank to a playoff win.
Yeah, guy.
Like,
I
thought you were being sarcastic.
No,
I was
no.
like, oh, yeah, he was.
Yeah, a guy.
He was in a front office that built a team on pieces that fit well together, and then he came here and built the team that fit pretty well together.
Okay. Yeah, that's all I was asking.
I get what you're saying. Because now you got a front office who hasn't.
Yeah, that's all.
And hasn't, but hopefully they will. Let's hear from Chris Sale talking about his health.
I feel really good. You know, I've touched on it before, but this is really the first time since 2017 that I've finished a year healthy. Had an entirely healthy offseason. So, I'm just excited. I'm having fun again.
There you go. Off to a good start this year as well. A little bit of bad luck in his last time out, but through three starts, he's gone 17 and two-thirds. He struck out 20 guys, which is fantastic, a really good rate. 10 strikeouts per nine innings. His ERA is a little bit high, but I think some of that has to do with some of that bad luck, and it'll probably regulate a little bit. And he's on the mound tonight against a really good Texas Rangers team. And honestly, every time Chris Sale goes out there, I'm just excited to see what he looks like.
Yep.
Because if he's as good as he can be, probably not what he once was, but if he's as good as he can be, he's a huge part of this rotation, man. And so far, so good, I feel.
Well, he hasn't stunk. I think that's the biggest thing. He's been good, you know. And so I think that, you know, once he is, because we know what he was. He's not going to be that guy.
Probably.
You know, but I mean, can he be a solid contributing pitcher? He has been so far. And I think that's the biggest thing. I think that the one thing when you look at how this lineup, it will help him out, obviously, you know, with the lineup that he has. But I think that, you know, when you look at Chris Sale, he has been, I don't want to say a pleasant surprise. I won't say that because the dude can pitch.
Yeah.
You know that he's been injured and everything like that. And like I said earlier, he won't be what he once was. But just don't suck.
I need more than that.
That's all I need right now. No.
He's the third starter now. I need more than just don't suck. They gave him a bunch of money.
But the thing about it, he's a third starter by default.
Yeah, be good. Just be good.
Be good.
And he's been good.
Yeah.
He's been good. Oh, by the way, Luke Williams now up with the big club. Forrest Wall gets sent down to the minors today. Luke Williams called up, kind of a utility guy, can play infield and outfield. Off to a good start in Gwinnett so far. Seven games, he's batting .345, couple home runs, three stolen bases. So a little bit of a roster move today by the Atlanta Braves, a little depth piece there. We'll come back. Emory Hunt going to join us. CBS Sports football game plan draft analyst. We'll get his thoughts. Last time we'll talk to him before the draft rolls around, what he thinks the Falcons are going to do at number 8. Don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today, and start packing. 20 minutes away from an NFL no huddle. Do a little Falcons GM draft philosophy conversation, among other things, at 12:20 as well. I should have read that earlier. I think we did that on Wednesday. But we're going to do it again. And the draft is less than a week away, welcome in Emory Hunt from CBS Sports Football Game Plan, one of our favorite draft analysts to talk to. Emory, how are you?
Em, what up?
I'm doing fine, guys. Always a pleasure, man.
Do you feel that way, too, or are you more – I have to think you're more of a you can't get enough of it. This is your favorite time of year. The draft could take as long to get here as possible. Or are even you like, all right, come on. Get to Thursday already.
Here's my whole problem is that because I go so deep with all the different prospects and I have so many different reports or whatnot, I'm sitting here wondering, like, man, we're about 6 days away from the draft, and if I see one more person talk about Malik Nabers versus Marvin Harris, I'm a snap. Like, move on.
Right. I got a question, Em. How many, because we get them sent to us, but I can only imagine because you do this, how many mock drafts do people DM you?
This is why I hate mock drafts, right? Is because people use them so much, right? Uh-huh. That they start to believe the mock draft is real. So when, let's say, if people keep mocking the same player to the Falcons and the Falcons don't draft the player,
right,
they say, how could you not draft this guy? It was in the mock draft,
right,
like, bro,
right.
Everybody and their grandma got a mock draft.
Uh-huh.
I love mock drafts because it gives you an idea of who's going to go where, like just in general, like not like the Falcons are definitely taking this guy, but it's like, oh, he's viewed as a guy who's going to get picked somewhere between 8 and 15. That's sort of the way that scouts are viewing this guy. And it's a good way to familiarize yourself with people that maybe you haven't heard of before. But yes, if you're married to an order and you've decided that Dane Brugler is the one who's correct, and if they don't do what Dane Brugler does, then you're going to riot, then I think you're just asking for anger. All that said, what are the Falcons going to do at 8? Emory, tell us.
I will say this. The Falcons have, by what they've done in free agency, they have opened themselves up to where they can essentially go best player available. Now, what I wouldn't have done is pay Kirk Cousins all that money because they were sitting at a prime spot to really make some noise in terms of getting a young quarterback. Now, they still could do that in later rounds, but now you've kind of taken that question away from folks, and so people can, you know, kind of coach around you. Okay, well, we know the Falcons ain't taking the quarterback at 8, so they kind of can game plan that way. But, you know, you think about adding yet another option along the offensive line. You can't go wrong with, you know, strengthening and further tightening up that point of attack on both sides of the ball. I know people view, you know, pass rushers potential right there. Everyone talks about Dallas Turner. I'm a Leiatu Latu guy. I think that's someone that I would go out and grab because of his athleticism and his upside, as well as Jared Verse. But I do feel like pass rusher could be where the Falcons are going to go hang their hats.
My biggest thing with Latu is the neck, and that's the only thing but I don't have to worry about. I mean, if teams clear him medically, then that's more than anything. Is he the most, like, ready to go pass rush? I'm like, all of them are going to play. You draft him number 8 overall, but as you, like, pencil him in as a day one starter, I don't want to put a number on it, but is he a day one get after a pass rusher?
Absolutely. Him, Verse, and Dallas Turner, I think, are those right off the bus type pass rushers and go. The thing with Latu in the neck, and I'm glad you brought that up, because a lot of, and I said this all draft cycle, where a lot of the conversation about Latu leading up to the draft sounds a lot like Jalen Phillips leading up to the draft. Uh-huh. We had a lot of the same questions.
Right.
And you know, you're right. If he checks out medically, then all things are gold. You don't play with a neck, you don't play with a back, right? So, and if he is ready to go, and we've seen him throughout the course of the season at UCLA. No issues, knock on wood, no issues right. at the Senior Bowl as well. And I think he has the get up, the hustle. What I love about him more than everyone else is that he constantly keeps his eyes up. And when your eyes are up, your hands will follow, and then your feet will subsequently follow. So he's always moving rather aggressively toward the ball and ends up making a lot of plays.
I don't know if this is going to be the deciding factor, but it's not going to hurt him. The Falcons' defensive coordinator recruited him to go to Washington. Like, Jimmy Lake was the head coach at Washington when they recruited Latu to go there. So there's a relationship there, and we've seen that happen before in drafts. So that's not going to hurt him in the draft process. Who do you feel like is the most likely team to trade out of the top 10 that's in the top 10 right now? Who do you feel like is the most likely team to trade into the top 10 that isn't?
I feel like trading out of the top 10, the Chargers would be a sneaky one. Mm. I feel like that's possible. But it's Jim Harbaugh, so we could also see him take Brock Bowers right there at 5, too. So he's the wild card, right? You can go either way with Jim Harbaugh. But I feel like the Chargers are one to trade out. And I feel like, obviously, the Vikings have the ammo to trade up. But Sean Payton kind of let the cat out the bag, said he's willing to move hella high water to get up and get one of these quote-unquote quarterbacks. So I feel like the Broncos, taking him at his word, would be one to try to move up.
I mean, I think we know who the top three on most people, those guys are in this name. And I think we talked about last time we were talking with you about this whole J.J. McCarthy thing. And I'm one of those guys. I just see, you know, Blaine Gabbert, those type of guys. I could be wrong and everything. Where do you see him? And do you think, like you said, Sean Payton, is he one of those guys that can maybe push everything back because the team does go pick him up at 5 where the Chargers are?
I could see Sean Payton loving someone like J.J. McCarthy, and I'm right there with you, where to me it's like, even with what we've seen and what we've known of Brock Purdy, you're still not taking him in the top 5. You know, you still want to – if you're going to take somebody – and again, maybe I'm old school and I'm spoiled about what a top 5 was supposed to look like when you think of the 89 draft with Aikman, Derek Thomas, Barry Sanders and Deion Sanders. That's a top 5, right? You know what I'm saying? So, and shout out to Tony Mandzich. I know he was in there, too. I didn't want to mention his name, but too late. But you look at McCarthy, and it's like, okay, if we have everything in place and we need someone that could be a piece of the puzzle, he's the guy that could be the piece of the puzzle. And, you know, I know a lot of people knock him for the low throws, but I like to say, think about the pressure that's on those throws. Because if you could throw the football 40 times and you could miss 13 throws, you still have a pretty solid game. You can't miss no more than 5 if you ask to throw it 17 times. So the pressure is higher, and he was able to convert. So he can be a piece of the puzzle, but you can't draft him that high because now you're telling people he is the puzzle.
Right.
Emory Hunt joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, talking draft from CBS Sports and Football Game Plan. I hesitate to ask because I feel like it's a really hard question to answer, but I ask because the Falcons are probably going to take a receiver at some point, and the offensive staff was a part of the Rams staff last year that drafted this guy. Who's this year's Puka Nacua in the later rounds? I know it. Like, if you knew that, you'd probably be getting paid millions of dollars, but tell us, please.
Now, I'm a smart guy, man. I already know. So here's the thing, right? Let me lay out the facts because I put out a clip already that, you know, said this guy was the next Puka Nacua. So that's why I'm laughing. Let's go up to Slippery Rock. And it's Kyle Sheets, this receiver who's 6'3", 222, ran a high 4.4, low 4.5, depending on the scout watch, was at Temple's Pro Day. And he is someone that has garnered a lot of attention. When I was at the College Gridiron Showcase in January, it's a college all-star game, and now you get to see him going up against FBS corners, and he's doing his thing, winning off the line of scrimmage, stacking, you know, the defensive back, tracking the ball deep down the field. I remember catching a game during the season. He had missed like 2 games early in the year, and this was his first game back. And the first offensive play, they went deep down the field, and here he is with a 6-yard head start on a DB, and just walk down the ball and scored a touchdown. So he is someone that's legitimately flying under the radar and could see himself being called on day 3. So if I had to say that's a Puka Nacua type, he would be that guy.
All right.
Where are your quarterbacks ranking? I mean, I'm sorry. Where do you have after those 4 guys? Is it Penix? Is it Nix? Do you see maybe 6 quarterbacks getting first round?
Well, let's start with my number three quarterback. My number one is Caleb. My number two is Jaden. That's chalk.
Okay.
But my third quarterback is Spencer Rattler.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And my fourth quarterback is Jordan Travis. People act like his legs were amputated. They're not. They're still there, right? He can play. And fifth was Drake May. And six, I have Michael Penix. And then seven, I have J.J. McCarthy. But when you look at the number grades for Drake May and Penix and McCarthy, they are second-round grades. So it's not like I'm saying you can't sell me on if you want the round one. But if you are taking a quarterback on day two, and we've seen quarterbacks on day two have success, Andy Dalton, Colin Kaepernick, so on and so forth, right? You can have success, and you're not married to where you're drafted. You should hope to go to the best possible spot, which answers your question a little bit earlier about how many you think are going to go. Because if it plays out this way, because the wild card in the top 10 are the Giants. Mm-hmm. They're at six. It's a unique spot. We know there's not going to be a reach for a quarterback at six, so you're going to take an elite receiver. Now, do you double back? You know, are you wait to 34 or whatever when you're picking a high second round? Or do you jump back into round one, late round one, and grab a Spencer Rattler or maybe grab a Michael Penix if he's still there? I think that's kind of the game we see some teams may play at the back end of round one.
Right, real quick, because I want to piggyback real quick. Why is Spencer Rattler? Because you're not just saying, you're hearing a lot of stuff about teams being intrigued by this young man.
Because people look at the Oklahoma career and forget what he did at South Carolina. And you got to realize that's two separate, you know, quarterbacks. Just like Michael Penix at Indiana is different than Michael Penix at Washington. So is Bo Nix at Auburn and Bo Nix at Oregon are two different quarterbacks. So you have to look at it strictly from South Carolina. And if you go back to that game against Maine, the opener, he outplayed him.
Interesting. Interesting. We'll see. I mean, obviously, you've been on that one. We talked to you a while back, and you said the same thing. So we will we'll see how it plays out on Thursday or Friday or whenever those guys end up getting drafted. Emery, we appreciate it, as always.
Appreciate
Thank
it, my
you.
Boy.
Always a pleasure, man. Appreciate y'all.
Emery Hunt there, CBS Sports football game plan, draft analyst, not afraid to buck the trend, obviously. It's not the first time he's done that.
Right.
And it also, if he's right about it, wouldn't be the first time he's been right about something that is very much not the norm
yes.
that people are saying as far as mock drafts go. I mean, to say that you have Spencer Rattler there in front of all those other guys, no one else is saying
no.
that.
No. All I'm hearing is that Spencer Rattler's climbing.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's climbing.
Yeah.
I ain't even climbing that high.
I heard he had some large toes.
Yeah. Yeah. I got to confirm that.
Yeah, you got a source?
Yeah, I got to confirm that.
You got a toe source?
Yeah, I got to confirm that.
All right.
I got to confirm
that. This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Hustle Estate.
Hustle Man, get an x-ray. Hustle Man to get in that clinic, get the x-rays.
Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. We'll come back. We'll get you an NFL no huddle to kick off the noon hour on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.